Boy, that was good. I had a good time. And boy, that was last year, wasn't it? Year before. Yeah, Mountain Caves was last year. Boy, that was good. Enjoyed that. But I told Brother Jeremy, these mountain valleys, and there's a lot of them. And I'll show him, I'm glad he's God of the valley, just like he's God of the mountain. But what's been rolling in my mind, maybe switching gears this year, and having Bible school on night scenes in the life of Paul. I thought there was four, but God reminded me of one more. When he first met him, it was bright as a noonday sun. But God turned the lights off. Put him in the night. But boy, there's some great truths. And I wanted to preach on night in the brig in Acts 16. But the Lord seemed like this morning and last night began to shift my heart toward Mark 5. And I know it's a familiar text. But don't let your familiarity just say, well, I've heard all there is to you. So let's go to God and get some help for our hearts, all right? Father, we pray you bless the reading of your word. Anoint our hearts and our minds to be receptive to the word of God. Give us that physical touch and spiritual anointing, that precious unction of heaven that we cannot preach without. Thank you, Lord, for every soul that's lost in the building, that they might be drawn to you in love and conviction, that they might find repentance and faith. And oh, Lord, I'm glad it's not faith that they can muster up, but faith that is not even their own. Faith you'll deposit in their soul. God, give them the faith to believe and give them repentance. Lord, we thank you for your mercy and your grace and pray you'd help us to preach today in the power of the Holy Ghost and then true to the scripture. And we'll thank you, Lord, for helping us to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. I'll read the text. And you can be seated. Notice what the Bible says in Mark chapter 5. I love this text. Verse 24. And Jesus went with him, Jairus, and much people followed him and thronged him. They began to stack in like cordwood. The idea of thronging is you couldn't have got a piece of paper or couldn't got another person trying to press and touch and push against and all this bumping into him. But notice what he said in verse 25, and a certain woman, boy, I'm glad she's not just one of the crowd. Woo! And I'm glad you not just one of the crowd. Amen. And a certain woman which had, it's as if it's already been past tense. And hey, an issue of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. My goodness. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. I like what Matthew said. Said she touched the hem. Whoa. Boy, I want to get on the message right. The hem of his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Have you ever come into church, just be honest with you, real selfish, needing help? That's all right. Lord knows. And I'm glad he's one that can help you. I'm feeling something on that. Verse 29, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. What about that? And she felt it. What's that crowd going to do? Says there ain't no feelings in it. She felt in her body that she is healed of that plague. It's a powerful word, that word plague. It gives the idea of thrashing the back to bring out a confession. This is a disease that has set upon her for 12 years. And when she touched his clothes, y'all, she didn't touch his feet. Woo! She didn't touch his hands. No, sir. Bible said she touched the clothes, the hem of it. She dried up, and she felt in her body that she is healed of that plague. I mean, mentally, physically, spiritually, there was a healing going on. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" His disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. Didn't ask it because he didn't know it. God always asks questions knowing the answer.
That's right.
Oh, yes. Amen. And he looked round about, not trying to find her. But he is doing more than just that. I believe he's looking in the eyes of the disciples and said, "You too could have touched me instead of just bumping me. Y'all could have touched me." Boy, I'm about to have a running fit. I'm trying to stay calm. Lord, have mercy. How long's it been since you came to church and just touched them one time? Great day, help us, Lord. Woo! Amen. Said as he looked around about to see her that had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, a lot of things going on in her mind. I didn't have no business touching nobody. I know what Leviticus law says in chapter 15. I didn't have no business being in the crowd. I touched him. And are y'all following me? All that's going on. I don't deserve a blessing. Some of y'all came to church today. Let me see. Y'all don't like that word, y'all. Some of you came to church today and thought, "Well, I don't deserve to get a blessing from God." None of us do. She didn't either. But come on, touch him. But I know I'm trying to read through this. Knowing what was done in her, came and fell down. Boy, she's getting in the right position. And fell down before him and told him all the truth. Right. You might as well tell him. He knows it anyway.
Yeah.
Woo! It'll do you good just to tell him. I like what he said to her. "You shouldn't have known." And he said unto her, I'm picturing somebody running right here, "Daughter."
Amen. That's right.
Claimed her.
Yeah.
His family. Claimed his, her daddy. "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Did y'all see that? Go in peace. She came with a problem, but she left with peace. I like to preach right there just for a little while on this hope in the H-E-M. There's hope in the hem for a good Mother's Day. You can be seated. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And I pray, God, you just illuminate our mind and draw us right in close to you today and help me to preach according to your plan and your purpose. Lord, work in people's lives. Stir the hearts of the saints. Lord, get our eyes upon you and those who have came with a problem. May they touch the person so they can leave with the peace. And we'll thank you for the work that you'll do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
One old man of God put it like this. He said, "It is still true today that while a multitude throngs Jesus, it is the few who touch him.
You're right.
I like to say I've been in pastoring by the grace of God now in this property, different building, but on this property for 19 years by his divine grace. And not always been, come in a lot of times with problems.
Yeah.
But I'm glad I got to touch him. And I've left with peace.
Amen.
I just want to say there's hope in the hem of him. Amen. Amen. And if you'll just get past your problems, she wasn't going to allow people.
Yeah.
She wasn't even going to allow pride. She wasn't going to allow her problem to keep her from the one person that she had heard could touch and change her life. Oh, can I take you today? Can I take you to Calvary and say by the grace of God that him on that garment can only be done with piercing of a needle. It is the last part of the garment. It is pierced. I'm glad, thank God, the hem has been provided through the piercing, and the hem is also the finished work. Can I say today, on the authority of this Bible, he didn't say, I am finished. He said, it is finished. Telestai, it is done. It's complete. The work is finished. Hey, and based on the finished work of the Lord, all your problems can be transformed today into peace. There's hope in the hymn for a good Mother's Day. Now, I want to try, by the grace of God, to deal with the chapter and then preach briefly on the center text that I've read to you. In this chapter, Jesus deals with a devil, a daughter, and a damsel. I can't tell you for sure. I have no Bible for this moment. Here's my opinion. I believe it is a great picture of what God can do for your family. I picture in my mind there had to be a reason why the Holy Ghost specifically stated that she had an issue of blood for 12 years. I go back to Leviticus and I look in chapter 15, verses 25 through 31, and I realize that when a woman has an issue of blood, she is unclean socially, politically, ceremonially. She cannot go to temple. She cannot go to work. In fact, everything she touches, everywhere she goes, every place she sits on is unclean. And it gets to a place that as long as that blood issue is a problem, then that shall be the days of her separation. She can get to the place that she becomes separated and isolated, just like leprosy would do the leper. Can I say sin in this picture here? Sin always excommunicates. Sin always isolates. You think it brings friendships, and you think, friend, that it's going to provide all you want and need, but don't forget about Luke 10, and when they stripped and left half dead, that's what sin will do. It'll wreck you and ruin you. It'll bind you and blind you. If you don't believe me, ask Samson, the strongest man that ever lived. You, amen, preacher. Hey, I'm telling you, this lady, as long as she has this issue, she is separated. 12 years. It's, as you say, it's ironic, maybe by coincidence, but it sure is a blessing. That Jairus, amen, comes to Jesus, and in midstream, don't you think it crossed his mind? And my daughter's over here, Lord. I done told you about her. Why are you stopping for this lady? He probably didn't even recognize who she was. You don't have to believe this if you don't want to. But her mama's not mentioned till we get to the house. And I just happen to believe it could be that this woman was the very mama of the 12-year-old girl. And this issue has been going on for 12 years.
You say, well, you ain't in the Bible. Well, I'm so close, I can smell it all over. It's amazing. And then I get to thinking, brother, I thought this morning, what about that older boy? Out yonder in the tombs. And the Lord just stopped on his ship. He's across the other side, comes back on this side. I'm just saying it could be. I don't know. But I do know this. He's going to make two mamas. He's going to make their Mother's Day. And it could be, you say, preacher, I don't believe this woman with the issue of blood. It's the mother of this 12-year-old damsel. Then you've just helped me. Because instead of making two mama's days, he's just made three mother's days. You say, what makes your day, mama? I'll tell you what makes your day. When that son that's been cutting himself and full of the devil and nobody can tame him, and the Levites have tried and the law's tried, and they've put him over there with a dead crowd, and he's got at least one over there as crazy as he is, and they scared to death, and they hear his screams, and they come by and say, hey, I seen your son. He's as wild as he's ever been. And can't you hear somebody say, he's as crazy as he's ever been. Hallelujah. But one day Jesus comes up on a boat, gets the disciples in a boat, takes them across the sea. They don't understand why, but he's got an extra sack of clothes. Amen. And they don't know what he's doing. But when they step on the shore, this madman of Gadarenes that's full of a legion of demons. It don't matter if you think it's 1,000 demons or you think it's 6,000. I can at least agree to this point. He's full of the devil. Are y'all with me? He is wild. The devil speaks and says, my name's Legion. The Lord steps on the shore, and a man that's full of the devil runs to Jesus, and the Bible says falls on his face and worships him. Listen, friend, if you're saved today, what in the world's wrong with us? With the Holy Ghost living on the inside of us, we ought to know Jesus has help for us. There's hope for this mother. She's heard nothing but bad reports. But can you imagine what it was like when Jesus told them devils to go jump them swine, and them hogs said, I'd rather be dead and full of the devil. And they went and jumped in the water, and they went to the beach and jumped in the water. Y'all with me? Jumped in the water. Yes, sir. And you know what happened? The Bible says he was naked. And the Bible said when they come back and they saw him, he was sitting and clothed and in his right mind. Now, how in the world did this man full of the devil have enough mental capacity to run to Jesus? I just believe this. When Jesus is out there calming the storm, that madman saw the storm. Hey, and he said, great God, if he can calm the storm on the outside, maybe he can calm the storm on the inside. It's my only hope. And can you imagine what it'd been like on that Mother's Day? On that day when the mother had her day made. That the Mother's Day was made. You say, what happened? My Bible says, Brother Jeremy, that he was sitting and clothing in his right mind. Jesus got in the boat because they didn't want him around. And he went to the other side. And that's when the issue of blood's going to show up. But praise God for it does. That man says, wherever you go, I want to go. I don't blame him. I'd been wanting to do the same thing. But Jesus said, I tell you what I want you to do. Go home to your friends and tell them what good things the Lord's done for you. Hey, man. And he went home. And she said, somebody else gonna bang a bad report. And she opened the door, and there's stood her baby. And he's in his right mind. Now, y'all can say she act dignified if you want. I guarantee that mama picked him up, swung him around, shouted a victory, had herself a time. Woo! Hallelujah, that Mother's Day was made. There was hope for that mother on that day. He said, preacher, he said, go home and tell his friends. I've heard one preacher say, we know by that term he's a teenager. Well, I don't know about that. I think he could go tell his friends. I think he could go tell his family. And I think the foes realized it, because he went to that 10 region city. And by the time the Lord comes back, there's some change going on in the city. I'm glad, thank God, you can make a difference. I get to thinking about this chapter, and we're not going to deal with Jairus. We're not going to deal with him and his daughter. But let me just say this. It doesn't matter if it's demons, disease, or death. It doesn't matter if it's Satan, sickness, or sin. God can fix your problem today. Amen. Hallelujah. I see in this woman here another mama whose day is going to be made. You could say, well, preacher, we don't believe. We're going to disconnect with your opinion. We're going to stay with what we know the Bible says, and I have no fault in that. I'd rather stay with and know for sure what the Bible says. But if you don't agree that this was the woman that gave birth to this 12-year-old girl, don't change my mind. Just let me enjoy it, okay? I'm going to believe it anyway, and you ain't going to change me. And I thank God for the inference here in the chapter. But let me just say it like this. If this is another mother who has stayed with the sickly daughter, and I say amen, and Jairus has went to Jesus, and he's went for help, but now the daughter's dead, then she sends the word and tells Jairus, leave him alone. He's dead now. But there's something that's going to give Jairus hope. In the midst of his discouraging news, something's going to help Jairus. Something is going to encourage him. Woo! And you say, preacher, that woman's day was made. Amen. But today, briefly, let me tune into the text that we read. This woman who had the issue of blood, this woman, Brother Jeremy, she's got some issues with trust. She's got issues with money. She's got issues with time. She's got issues with disease. Look where she's kept. She's kept away. She's kept excommunicated. Leviticus 15 tells us Luke tries to take it easy on the physicians. But the truth is, the physicians in our text has taken all of her money. And instead of her getting better, she's got worse. Now the money's gone. The physicians is gone. Now, are y'all following me? Oh, she spent all she had. She's kept away from everything and everybody. Would y'all agree with me that she had a life where her health was gone, but she had a life where hope would burn in her soul? The Bible says that she heard of Jesus and she came in the press behind and touched his garment. Notice where she's kept. Notice, thank God, what she spent. But hallelujah, notice where she went. She learned of Christ and she longed for Christ. She learned of him. She said, I've heard of the miracles he's did. Don't you think probably by then it done got noised abroad a little bit? Them disciples started spreading the news. Boy, you ought to have seen what he did to the madman over there. Everybody knew who he was. Oh, yes. Thank God, maybe, hallelujah, done heard about other miracles that he'd taken place and that he'd done. Hey, calmed the storm. Hey, made the winds quieten down. Hey, man, thank you, Lord. It began to be noised abroad, all the things that Jesus was doing. And but more than that, don't you believe, friend, that it was the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, went in there where she was and took everything that she'd heard and began to make it real to her? Because I remember the day when I'd heard a lot about Jesus, but that day when the Spirit of God sat down in my lap and made it real to me, that day when it become real, that's when I really heard. That's when I quit hearing with these and started hearing with this. Oh, yes. I knew my only hope was to get to Jesus. I remember being lost. Going to church feeling like you didn't belong. Going to church felt like there wasn't no hope for you. And going to church and all of a sudden seeing people love on you. open the church doors to you, shake hands with you, be nice to you. If there's one thing we're going to do around here by the help of God, we're going to love on you. Now, some people say, well, preacher, I don't like all that shaking of hands. That stuff bothers me. Well, we're going to love on you. That's for one thing. Because I remember being lost and thinking nobody loved me. Nobody cared about me. Hell, nobody want me. Nobody understands me. But that day I walked in and heard that preacher preach. He knew every sin I ever committed that I never even told nobody. And then he showed me that Jesus loved me. And he loved me. And he knew me better than anybody knew me, including myself. And he still loved me and wanted to save me. And that he died for me. I got a good look at my sin, a good look at myself, a good look at the Savior, a good look at the saints. I realized they had something I didn't have. And thank God, I'll tell you one thing. I got a good look at salvation. It changed my life. Hallelujah. I looked unto him and got saved. I didn't have nothing to offer him, but he took the mess I had and he's working on making a masterpiece. God does that. It ain't no different in your life than it was in this lady. She's sitting over there, brother. She's pale. She's bled for 12 years. Instead of getting better, she's got worse. Everything in her body, every remedy. I read some of the things they would have tried. Gruesome. I can't even mention them in church. They would have tried multitudes of things. And wouldn't you have if you were separated for 12 years? I don't know about y'all. How many of y'all was lost for a while and was sick and tired of sin? Sick and tired of that way of life. And probably tried to straighten up yourself. But instead of getting better, you got worse. Anybody in here was like that? Boy, I know I was. I was sick of it. And I didn't want to tell nobody. I was supposed to be the life of the party. But boy, it sure was good to know. Thank God that wasn't all there was to life. Amen. That was a good, blessed day when I found out. And buddy's hope began to, because of what she heard, hope began to build in her heart. This is a woman who's probably going to get to be a mother again. Here, this is a woman who's going to get to be a wife again. Here is a woman who's going to get to go to temple again. Here's a woman who's been an outcast, who's been excommunicated, who's been separated. But grace is going to reconcile her. Oh, sin separates, but grace reconciles. Look at the Bible. Bible said she heard of Jesus. And the Bible said she came and the press behind and touched his garment. She touched Brother Jeremy the hem, that part of the garment that's made only through piercing. That part of the garment that has been made. In fact, if you look at the first time the word hem is used in the Bible, it is in direct reference to the high priest's garment. It's the first time you see a hem mentioned. Sure do thank God them old priests had that little blue hem and had some of them had pomegranates. Bible said they had bells, and that priestly garment had a hem. Oh, but it wasn't just any priestly garment. It was a high priest garment. I sure am glad that principle of first mention will work real good right there. Ain't you glad to know that the real high priest had a hem on his garment? Now, I know a lot of times in that day, how masters and religious leaders would wear a hem and it would usually be colored a blue, speaking of divinity and the origin of the royal law. And it would be a constant reminder that they were chosen and a part of God's people and they had a law to live. I understand that, but this ain't just any hem and it's not just on any hem. This H-E-M is on the H-I-M. Thank God the God manifested in the flesh. And no doubt in my mind, he took that crowd in close proximity to where that precious lady was so she could hear the noise and the tumult of the crowd. No doubt in my mind, he probably slowed the pace so she could get up with it. She is weak and weary, wounded and left. Hey, matter of fact, can I say, the Bible says that throng and crowd, they bumping into him. Boy, that crowd, y'all know there's a crowd came with him just for a picnic. We know that. God got on to them for that. They just want to come around and see the miracles and the loaves and eat some fish. There's a crowd in that group. One of them's name's Judas. He's a devil from the beginning. He don't even have a basket. All he carries is a bag. That's all he's worried about. His little bag, his money. Every time somebody goes to really worshiping and pulling out some oil, he gets perturbed and wants to wish that money could have been put in the bag. He ain't worried about the poor. He's worried about pounding that bag, putting some money in that bag. He's in that crowd. Y'all know there's a crowd that's in there that don't deserve to be there, don't you? Oh, yeah. That old cussing fisherman, he's in there. He's been chose. And he ain't going to be long. He's going to deny that he even knows the Lord. Can I say, I don't even deserve to be in the crowd. But I'm glad I'm not just in the crowd. I'm in the church. I'm glad I'm not just in the following. I'm in the flock. You can be in the crowd and not be in the church. You can be in the following and not be in the flock. You can say, well, look at me. Hey, I'm over here with Jesus. I preached one time on them lamps. And I said, I can just picture them five virgins, preacher's wife on their lamp. Look how pretty my lamp is. Preacher's wife. And a preacher's wife on my, deacon's wife on my lamp. Boy, I've got her nailed down. Hey, I'm talking about I'm pure. I'm right. I'm looking for the Lord. I'm hanging around the right crowd. But if you ain't got no oil, there's no personal relationship. There's a lot of people touching. There's a lot of people bumping into it. It's a thronging crowd. I mean, you can't hardly walk. Noah, he's my buddy. And Noah goes with me a lot of places. Seth and the boys, most time now it's Seth and Noah. Austin's working. Jacob's over at the university doing something. And so now, most of the time, going to school. Most of the time, it's me and the little ones. Sometimes I'll be walking and I'll stop. Noah bump into me. I mean, I'll walk. Noah bump into me. I'll walk here. I mean, he likes being close to his daddy, and I like it. I wouldn't care if he walked, if we just tied our legs together. I hope he always stays like that. I'm with you. But you can't hardly walk with somebody that you don't bump into him. This is a crowd that's bumping into Jesus. I see people bumping into Jesus when they sing Amazing Grace. But how long's it been since they touched him? I see a lot of people bumping into Jesus coming to church, bumping into Jesus putting in their tithe, bumping into Jesus, telling other folks. But how long's it been since you really touched him? Yourself, can I tell you, don't just be in the crowd today. Don't just be in the church today. But touch the Christ today. Touch the person today. Get in the altar, amen. I see this woman. She comes in the press behind. The Bible says she touched his garment. She's learned of Christ. She's longing for Christ. She's leaning in to touch. She says this, Brother Jeremy, if I can just touch his clothes, I'll be whole. This ain't never happened. Now, I know time you get chapter 9, time you get to chapter 14 in Matthew, people are going to touch his garments and touch his clothes, and everybody touches him. It's going to be perfectly made whole. That's what Matthew says. Perfectly made whole. But that ain't happened yet. This woman is going to set a precedent in her faith. It's going to be noised abroad. Why did they start doing it in chapter 14 of the book of Matthew? Because thank God it helped this woman. I just wonder how many mamas and daddies, if they'd see, if your youngins was to see you clinging to Jesus, touching Jesus, getting a hold of Jesus, getting at the feet of Jesus, they'd want to do what mama and daddy and grandma and grandpa are. Great God in heaven, it ain't just enough to know, quote the scripture, it's not just enough to know to have your name on the roll, to be baptized. I mean, there needs to be a personal touch. And this woman come through the press, leaned forward, no doubt got on her hands and knees, pressed her way through the crowd. And the Bible said when she touched that garment, touched the finished work, touched the pierced work. Thank you, Jesus. Touched the finished, pierced work. And when she touched it, the Bible says straightway. Not even a discipleship program. I mean, I'm not saying that ain't a good thing, but that ain't going to help you here. That's good after you touch him. That's, once you get saved, then learn. Are y'all with me? Listen, the Bible says straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. She went to Jesus after she'd spent all she had. And this text said she felt in her body. She felt it. She felt it. Wonder what that crowd probably thought. She's a little undignified, falling on her face and just telling God everything. I mean, she spilled the beans. She told him all the truth. She told him about her past. She told him about her problem. She told him about pressing through the crowd. Even though I know the law's against it, I'm sorry. She told him the whole thing. I mean, she told him she's healed. That moment, she told it everything to him. Why did she do that, Brother Jeremy? She felt it. The Bible said she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had went out of her. She felt it. And Jesus knew that virtue went out. Virtue is what he got that you need. Had a man ask me, say, well, can you explain what that virtue is? I said, well, the Bible talks about us thinking on things that are virtuous. Bible talks about us living virtuously. The Bible says here that when this woman, issue of blood, touched him, virtue went out of him. That power, that he said, thy faith hath made thee whole. What made her whole? Faith brought her to that place. Faith that was generated by God. Faith that was put in there by God. You're not saved by grace through faith that you muster up yourself, that mom and daddy passed down to you. You're saved by grace through faith that what? Not of yourself. And it's a gift of God. Repentance. If God peradventure give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Everything you need to get saved, it's a gift from God. You don't jerk it out of nobody's hand. You don't demand it out of nobody's hand. Is everybody all right? And I know it makes some people nervous. But it's the truth. Yeah. I'm glad that I didn't have to come up with enough faith to believe.
Amen.
I'd be in a mess. And people are dying and going to hell thinking there ain't no hope because they have to come up with it.
You're right.
You ain't got to come up with it. God will give you the faith. Faith was working her out of her seat, out of her house, out on the street, through the crowd, through the people, past her pride, despite of her problem, to touch the person and just a piece of his clothing. Are y'all with me today? And when it happened, she felt it. Power left him and went to her. It wasn't faith's power. It was his power. But it was his faith gave her that brought her to him. Put it like this. Galatians 2:20 said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. For the life which I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God.
Yeah.
Not in the Son of God. That's NIV.
That's right. Tell it, brother.
That's why we don't have non-inspired version, despite the fact that it stinks the church up. Amen. We don't like the NIV version because it takes the word, changes it.
Yeah.
The faith of the Son of God. Right. He's the source. Are y'all with me?
Right.
Faith has brought her here. But it was not faith's power, that did the work. It was Christ's power that did the work. But where did faith come from? Christ. You know how you kept? By the power of God through faith. I'm glad you're an overcomer by faith. Are y'all with me so far?
Amen. That's right.
Faith has brought her to this point. She's touched him. What is virtue? Y'all remember when the leper touched the Lord? Actually, let me put it like this. He touched the Lord. I mean, because somebody thinking he's crazy. He touched the Lord's heart with his cry. And the Lord touched his head or his hand with his compassion. Are y'all with me? He called out to him. And normally, when you touch a leper, the person who touches gets what the leper got.
Right.
But that ain't what happened on Jesus. The leper got what Jesus said. That's what happened here. Yeah. When that woman touched him, he didn't become unclean. She became clean. Are y'all with me today?
Right.
Normally everything she touches is unclean, but you can't make somebody who is clean unclean.
Right.
Not Jesus, not this one. He's clean, he's perfection, amen. Ain't you glad? Bible said virtue went into her. And he looked about and said, who touched me? And the disciples said, well, Lord, Mike, everybody's touched. Everybody. And he looks at that crowd. You could have touched me, Noah. You could have. But I want to know who touched me. He knew the answer to the question. He never asked a question he didn't know the answer to. Y'all do believe it. He don't have to ask no questions, don't you? Y'all do believe he's omniscient, all-knowing. Y'all do believe he's omnipotent. Y'all, he know he's got all power.
Right.
Hallelujah. He knows everything from the beginning.
Amen.
Our tomorrows are right now in his present.
That's right.
Our yesterdays are right now in his present.
That's right.
He's as present in yesterday and tomorrow as he is in today.
Amen.
That'll blow your mind.
Yeah.
I'm talking about him. He's God.
Amen.
We live in the confines of time,
right.
But he don't.
Amen.
He sees everything at one time. He don't even view it in slides.
Right.
He sees it all because he's God.
Amen.
He knew everything.
Right.
I believe he slowed his step down.
Yeah.
I believe he brought the crowd where she's at. I believe he made it easy on her.
Yeah.
I believe he came for her because
oh,
yeah. It wasn't just any woman.
Oh.
It's not just one of the crowd. It's a certain woman.
Amen.
I'm glad of that. I'm glad a certain sinner that he died for. And that certain sinner's you, friend.
Yeah.
And a certain sinner's me. The Bible says, after he looked that crowd over, no doubt conviction setting in on, my Lord, we could have been touching him. We could have had power. We could have had virtue. We could have experienced that. He said, he looked around on her. Now, Brother Jeremy, she's trembling. She's fearing. All the things that I said when I was reading the text, she's concerned about it. She's broke the law. She's done what she wasn't supposed to do. She's concerned. I touched him without him asking me. But what she didn't know, she's going to be a picture of the sinner today. Can I say that today there's an unseen hand working among the church service and drawing sinners unto himself? Hallelujah. God help us. Amen. And the Bible says that the woman feared and trembling, knowing what was done. Look at that. She felt it and she knowed it. Now, I don't always feel it. And I don't want to stay here long because y'all know I get hung up. But I'm glad there is some feelings here. I'm glad there is some feelings. I don't run on feelings. I run on facts. I thank God the Bible says, thank God, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and thou shalt be saved. Bible said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Bible said, we know he had passed from death and life because we love the brethren. Y'all come to church today. Some of you didn't even want to, but the reason you came to church today is because there's something in you told you to be here. I'm glad God does that. Amen. I know I'm saved, Brother Jeremy. I know I'm saved. The Bible said she knowed it. She felt it. But there's days I don't always feel that happy spirit. But I always know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I'm basing it on the facts. Feelings fluctuate. Facts are settled. The Bible says knowing what was done. Life where there is hope that burns in her. But life, thank God, brought her help. She found it in him. Notice what she said. She fell down before him and told him all the truth. She came with a problem and she left with peace. He said, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of that plague. That plague that has been whipping the life out of you. You say, preacher, why did the Lord do that? See, he works personally.
That's right.
But he likes you to tell it publicly. It's not just belief in the heart. It's confession in the... She'd already believed that she touched his clothes, she's going to be whole. And when she touched him, straightway it was.
That's right.
But he needed her to confess it publicly.
Yeah.
Why?
have a public testimony service. Because somebody else, one of them being Jairus, because somebody else day needs to be made. You say, preacher, we don't know for sure if she's a mama. Sure don't. Don't know for sure according to scripture. I believe she was, but don't know according to scripture if she's a mama. But I tell you what, whether she was a mama or guarantee you she had a mama, they was somebody's day, some mother's day made. There's hope in the H-E-M of H-I-M for your mother's day. The Syrophoenician woman came to the Lord on behalf of her daughter. And she besought the Lord that he might give her, y'all remember, some help. The Lord stopped, turned around and said, telling his disciples, it's not meet that I take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. Used the word for big dog. He did call her a dog. She was a Gentile. But at least he used big dog.
That's right.
But then she said, it got more than just her daughter. It got personal into her. She said even the dogs, and she used the word for little dogs, eat the crumbs which fall off the table. What she's saying is, I'll just take the crumbs. Can I tell y'all, if you got enough crumbs, you can have a loaf of bread. She said, I just need some crumbs. I just need some crumbs. That's all I'm looking for. I'd like to preach there one day on a faith that is persistent. She didn't quit when the Lord called her a dog.
Right.
She didn't quit when she heard the bread was made for the children.
Right.
She didn't quit, friend. She persisted and consistently prayed until she left with some help. Can I say today, I'm going to thank God for some people who will be persistent in prayer. I'm glad she didn't allow the people to stop her. She didn't allow nothing to stop her. She got in there where he was. Hey, listen, there's some of you mamas out here. And maybe your family, maybe your daughter is in a bad shape like this woman was with 12 years. She's been in rebellion. Can I tell you, don't give up. One day she'll touch the hem and she'll get born again. You say, preacher, I got a boy and he's wayward. And all I hear is how bad he's got. And the crowd he's hanging with. And how it seems like everybody tries to help him and he pushes away. Can I tell you, don't give up. Jesus will step out on the shore of his life and change him forevermore. Can I say, preacher, you don't understand. My family member is at the point of death and they're not going to make it. Not even one more day. I'm a mother and I don't want to see my daughter die and go to hell. Can I tell you today, that praise God, he might bring three saints with him. He might bring three old preachers with him. Or he might just show up himself. But he'll show up to your house in spite of the unbelief and in spite of those who will mock and make fun of the words that he says that's in the text. He'll still do a work. You know why? Because he can do a work. He's able to do a work. There's hope in the hymn. I want you to stand to your feet, heads is bowed. Jacob, you come. I want to say this as a side note in closing.